May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Often our gospel reading on a Sunday morning focuses on one episode in the life of Jesus. This morning we have three episodes, three short and powerful scenes, all in a few verses from the beginning of Mark's gospel. First we have Jesus' baptism, followed by his temptations in the wilderness, and finally the beginning of his ministry as he proclaims the good news. On this first Sunday of Lent, we usually focus on Jesus' temptations in the wilderness. And in Matthew and Luke's Gospels, this episode is much longer with more details given. Here in Mark, we have a very bare and brief summary of those 40 days. So I'd like to reflect on how this episode fits in its context, how it relates to the episode before and the episode afterwards. And this may have something to say to us as we begin Lent. It's important that we don't see the disciplines of the season of Lent in isolation, but consider how they relate to the rest of our Christian lives. So our gospel reading begins with the baptism of Jesus. Jesus is baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist along with many, many others. Through his baptism, Jesus identifies with sinful humanity, with all the mess, the weakness, the sin, and the suffering of our lives. He declares himself one of us. But at the same time, at his baptism, Jesus is identified as God's beloved Son. As Jesus comes out of the water, he sees the heavens torn apart, the Spirit descends upon him, and a voice comes from heaven. You are my Son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Jesus is affirmed as the beloved Son of God. Now, if you were here last Sunday, you may remember similar words are used at Jesus' transfiguration up the mountain when Jesus is revealed in glory. There, the disciples hear the voice from heaven. This is my Son, the beloved. Listen to him. Both the baptism of Jesus and his transfiguration are high points for Jesus. In both episodes, heaven is torn apart, heaven is brought near to earth, a veil is drawn back, and Jesus is revealed for who he is. However, as David pointed out last Sunday, after the high point in the mountain, Jesus and his disciples have to come down low into the valley. And so too, after Jesus' baptism, we're told the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. It's interesting to note that these first few chapters of Mark's Gospel are rather breathless in their pace, and episodes are often joined together with the little phrase, and immediately. So here, the glorious affirmation of Jesus as God's beloved Son at his baptism is followed immediately by his 40 days testing in the wilderness. But notice, it's the Spirit who drives Jesus out into the wilderness. The same Spirit who descended upon him at his baptism, affirming his identity as the Son of God, now leads him into the harsh and lonely place where his identity as the Son of God is tested. As I've said, Mark doesn't give us any of the details of the temptations which we find in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. There, we read that Jesus is tempted to turn stones into bread, to put his own physical needs above his complete dependence on God. He's tempted to compromise with the devil and follow the way of status and power. And then he's tempted to throw himself off the highest pinnacle in the temple in Jerusalem, believing that God will rescue him. In other words, he's tempted to test his Father's love and prove it to himself and others. Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness evoke the 40 years which the Israelites spent wandering in the wilderness. And they often grumbled and put God to the test. But Jesus succeeds where the Israelites failed. And he resists the temptations to do things in his own way and his own power and maintains his trust in and his complete dependence on his Father. But it may be that those words of affirmation that Jesus heard at his baptism enabled him to face the wilderness which followed. He held on to the intimate relationship with his Father, the security of the Father's love, even in the face of struggle and doubt. And the wilderness itself may have been not only a place of struggle, but also a place of grace. We heard in our reading, he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Alone in the wilderness, Jesus is confronted with the forces of darkness, represented by the wild beasts, but he was sustained by the angels. Even in the midst of darkness and struggle, God's grace and light prevail. And Jesus' sense of his identity and his vocation as God's beloved Son may have been strengthened through his time in the wilderness. So that's the first two episodes this morning, the baptism and the tempting, the testing in the wilderness. And it may be that those two first episodes, the baptism and the testing in the wilderness, were significant for Jesus in preparing him for his ministry and all that lies ahead. Now, of course, Jesus' ministry is not only one of preaching and teaching. Yes, he calls us to repent, to turn back to God and believe the good news. But through his suffering and death, he also provides the way we can turn back to God. And he himself, in his death and resurrection, becomes the good news that we believe. For Jesus, it may be that his baptism and his testing in the wilderness together equip him not only for his teaching and preaching ministry, but also for his betrayal, his false trial, his suffering on the cross, and his glorious resurrection and ascension. So what about us? What do these three episodes in the life of Jesus have to say to us as we begin this season of Lent? Lent is traditionally seen as a season of spiritual discipline, of self-examination and repentance, of prayer and fasting. And this is all true. But of course, self-examination and spiritual disciplines of prayer and fasting, giving up things and living more simply, are not ends in themselves. The discipline, and sometimes even the struggle of Lent, needs to be seen in the light of who we are and where we are going. Just as Jesus was joyfully affirmed as God's beloved Son before he faced the testing in the wilderness, we too need to know who we are as God's children before anything else. When we are joined to Christ in our baptism, we too become beloved sons and daughters of God. This is who we are in Christ, and we must never forget it. It is in the knowledge of the love of the Father through Christ and the outpouring of the Spirit upon us that we too, like Jesus, can face the wildernesses of our lives. Wilderness or desert can come in many different forms. We can face wilderness times that are not of our choosing, through frailty and illness, relationship breakdown, stress and depression. And all these times can be truly testing times. We need to hold on to who we are as God's beloved children. Indeed, sometimes we can even grow in our faith and trust in God through these hard times. But we can also go through other forms of wilderness, which we do choose, even if they are also testing at times. And Lent can be seen as a wilderness in this sense. We can enter Lent as a time to be stripped down, a time of letting go of idols and confronting more honestly our sins and failures, a time of prayer and reflection and turning to God afresh. This may be quite challenging, but potentially it is a means to spiritual growth, as long as all our disciplines lead us deeper into God's grace and remind us of who we are in Christ. And as we go through the stripping down of Lent, as we seek to find and pray and look for God more earnestly, as we try to let go of idols of all kinds, including our ease and material comforts, our self-promoting ambitions and sense of status, as we do these things, they can also prepare us to live more faithfully as God's people and to serve him more effectively. Jesus was prepared for his ministry and his life of self-giving through both the joy of his baptism and the testing in the wilderness. So we too are prepared to live as God's people through the joy of knowing who we are in Christ and through learning to put God first, which wilderness times and spiritual disciplines can help us to do. So I hope we will all make the best use we can of Lent. I read some words by another preacher recently which struck me, and he said, "We all need more Lent than we know. You need Lent, I need Lent. Let us humble ourselves and come to know better our mortality, our finitude, our waywardness, and our rebellion." So let's think about the spiritual disciplines which will help us humble ourselves before God and grow in faith. I encourage you, as I did on Ash Wednesday, to make more time for self-examination and confession during Lent. Not just a quick general confession on a Sunday morning. Take time to ask the Spirit to help you examine your attitudes and actions in detail before God. This may help you to repent, to turn back to God more earnestly. I hope we will also make more time for the reading of Scripture, the really reflecting and pondering on Scripture and prayer. Our Lent program this year is on prayer. And as I said earlier, we've got 4 online discussions on a Tuesday evening, and we're encouraging people to join in praying the morning prayer of the Church of England online Monday to Thursday together. So I hope you will join us. We take on the disciplines of Lent to deepen our awareness of God's love and strengthen our sense of who we are as God's children, and to prepare ourselves more effectively to be fruitful in our Christian lives. As it says in our Eucharistic prayer for Lent, "In these 40 days, you lead us into a desert of repentance, that through a pilgrimage of prayer and discipline, we may grow in grace and learn to be your people once again." Amen.